This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Monday. Dave Lapham coming up in, well, like 60 seconds. I'm James Erpine on Twitter, at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. Make sure you check out LockedOnBengals.com right now, where there's a ton, including Solomon Tettman's latest prospect spotlight on Arkansas center Frank Ragnow. Some quotes from Dave Lapham on the center position. Heck, I'm going to ask him about it in 60 seconds. And I joined Channel 5 here locally in Cincinnati, WLWT. Watch my segment, the entire show. I was on WLWT Sports Rock previewing the Bengals draft with Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com and George Vogel of Channel 5. Check that out. You can watch it. It's not super lengthy, like 17, 18 minutes of your time, but I think it is certainly worth your time. My latest mock draft, my final mock draft, will come out Wednesday. Until then, we're going to be wall-to-wall draft. Joe Goodberry will join me on Wednesday's podcast. And without further ado, I caught up with Dave Lapham earlier today on my noon-to-one show on ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. It's really good stuff here from Lap. And I'm going to stop talking and get the hell out of the way. My first question to Lap was simple. One, it seems like it's house money with the 21st overall pick because they've already addressed their big need with the 12th pick and trading back, and they obviously added Cordy Glenn. Does it feel like house money to him, and center's their biggest need? How does he feel about the top three centers?
I think they like, you know, all three of the top centers, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, you basically go from 12 to 21 in the first round, and you switch positions on another later round draft pick, but you don't lose any draft picks, and you get a high caliber starting left tackle. Bone spurs in the ankle, you know, messed him up last year, Cordy Glenn, but, you know, there's no structural damage. I think, you know that guy can play. Guys you're drafting, it's 50-50 if they can play at the next level. So I thought that was a really, really good move and addressed your biggest need, or started to address it, you know, the tackle position with Cordy Glenn. And, yeah, I would think that, you know, center is a big target. And I guess to sum up the three centers, I think all of them would be fine. I think Ragnow is obviously the biggest, and he's got plenty of athleticism. Kid out of Arkansas, Frank Ragnow, he's a very, very good player. You know, watching him on tape, Pro Football Focus has him graded out as the best center in the draft by far. I think Daniels has got tremendous upside, the most upside. He doesn't turn 21 years old until September, so he needs to, you know, work on more overall body strength. He's a good player, very good player, but I think he can get stronger. He's got a big frame that can fill out even more. And I would say that Billy Price is probably the most game ready. You know, and I look at him with 55 starts at Ohio State at such a high level of football. Now, granted, only one of them was at the center position, but, you know, he basically was playing guard at a high level. He was going to go into the draft. And they decide, you know, they talked him into staying, and he gets, you know, he has probably one of the best years that a center has had at Ohio State, and here he is sitting there in a good position, prime position to get drafted. Pat Elflein, of course, was a center before him. He goes in the third round from the Minnesota Vikings. He starts for them, but he's very smart, instinctive player, situational awareness. I like with him, and you know, I'm not sure, you know, how Frank Pollock grades him. That's probably the most important guy that you need opinions on, the new offensive line coach, because, you know, you look at him, though, he had success with Frederick, a Big Ten center out of Wisconsin, who was an All-American and now a Pro Bowl player at the NFL level. So he probably doesn't mind going to the Big Ten to draft centers, and two of them are there, Ohio State and Iowa, then Arkansas, the SEC. That's a good place. Either conference is a good place to get centers, so depending on what Frank is going to ask his center to do, you know, he probably has them graded a certain way as well. And everybody has them in different orders that I've seen, James. Nobody has a clear cut 1, 2, 3, which tells you that I think most teams would be fine with any one of them.
Dave Lapham is joining us. And Lap, I was listening to the Bengals Booth podcast, you and Dan Hoare talking and previewing the NFL draft. There's a link to it at ESPN1530.com/James. Really good stuff. One guy you mentioned when Dan mentioned the top three centers, you mentioned Mason Cole out of Michigan, and that he could be an intriguing prospect as well, maybe at round 2, 3, 4, in that range. What do you like about Mason Cole?
Well, same type of thing. 38 starts at left tackle, 13 at center in 2016. 51 starts is the most of any Michigan offensive lineman ever. And think of all the great offensive linemen that have come out of Michigan. Now, the thing about him, you know, I'm a little bit unsure about his lower body strength, you know, as well. 6'4", 310 pounder, though. I mean, the guy is obviously athletic enough. If he played left tackle at Michigan for 38 starts and then, you know, sandwiched in there with 13 of them at the center position, I think that he'd be more than capable. I think Mason Cole is somebody that you'd think about if you didn't get one in the first round, or even a lot of people think that one of the three top ones might be there at 46. You know, if for example, you're sitting there at 21, and Mike McGlinchey, for whatever reason, has slid in most people's estimation, the number one tackle in the draft. If he's there at 21, you double down at tackle. And I know a lot of people be thinking, oh, man, you just stacked it. You know, you traded for your left tackle, but there's still a right tackle position. While we're talking about right tackle, Bobby Hart, mm-hmm. Watch tape on him. When the year before last, when the Giants were a playoff team, Bobby Hart was playing average or even above average, you know, right tackle for the New York Giants, who were a playoff team. So, you know, don't rule that guy out as having a say in how that right tackle position pans out, a guy that's coming into the NFL and has already proven himself. And Billy Price is older than him. Billy Price is 23 years old. That's the other thing I like about Billy Price, is that I think he's the most game-ready, you know, for a lot of reasons. When you look at the video Ohio State has, that the Big Ten Network has of their practices and even in the huddle, Barrett and Price are running the show. And as an aside, it wouldn't bug me if both of them were in training camp. They'd sign Barrett as a free agent and have Price there as a drafted center. It wouldn't be bad. I think both those guys bring a lot of leadership and a lot of redeeming values that, you know, would play out well. I don't know if Barrett, I'm not saying draft Barrett. I'm saying if you do draft him very, very late, maybe with one of those three seventh-round picks, or if you think you can get him as a free agent, go that route. I'm not sure where I would draft him, but I do think that another kid at center is Austin Corbett out of Nevada.
Yeah,
he was a 4-year starter left tackle in Nevada, former walk-on, two-time All-Conference guy. He played center at the Senior Bowl and looked good. He's got long arms, big hands, explosive, athletic kid. Joel Bitonio with the Cleveland Browns, you know, came out of Nevada. Nevada has produced linemen in the recent past, so. You know, a guy like that, you might think about it. It's not like if you don't get a center at 21, you're doomed. But I do think that as a former lineman, I'd like to see, you know, they got their left tackle, or, you know, $11 million guy. You would presume he's going to get the first shot of left tackle. Draft the center at 21, then maybe go tackle again at with the second pick and start stacking at a position of weakness. That would be a great draft in my eyes as a former lineman.
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that the Bengals need to get better up front. And I look and I'm just trying to look at the patterns that Duke Tobin and the Bengals have thrown out there. And I think a year ago, pass rusher was something they definitely wanted to address. And it might have been their biggest need, and yet they waited till round three to do so, because I think that's where the value was. They saw value there on day two to get their pass rusher in Jordan Willis, and then they doubled down with Carl Lawson the next day in the fourth round. I think they might do that at center. I could see the scenario. You mentioned a few different Corbett from Nevada. Obviously, there's multiple centers. Heck, Billy Price, I could see him falling to 46, like you said. I think they're going to probably, if there's a best player available that isn't a center, they'll take that person or that player at 21 and then wait on a center until the second round, maybe even the third round.
I think depending on what that best player available is, if the best player available, where you have him on your board, if it's if the best player available slid from 18 to 21, I stay with the plan. You know, but if the best player available slid from somehow top 10 or 15 to 21, if top 10, it's a no-brainer. Top 15 to 21, you got to really think about it. I agree. I mean, and that's the one thing about this draft that's going to be very, very interesting. There probably will be a slider that they're going to have to talk about, maybe pull the trigger on, no question about it. You know, if the number two safety in the draft, James, is there for some reason at 21, you got to sprint. you know, to the podium with the Cards. You don't walk them, you sprint up there. You know, if somebody like that of that caliber slides for whatever reason, and when you look at it, I mean, with all the quarterbacks, you know, people are talking about going, there's going to be obviously at least three, maybe as many as six. You know, there's going to be 3 to 6. If all those guys go, you know, in the top 20, and there's 2 or 3 wide receivers, running backs combined that go, somebody's going to slide. I mean, that's 8 or 9 spots taken right there. You know, there's only 10 or 11 more people, and you look at all the, you know, I think the offensive line. The interesting with me, the interior particularly, the offensive line. Other than Nelson, Nelson's going top 5, if not top 5, top 10 for sure. He won't be there, but interior linemen, I think from pick 20 to 30, even 20 to 40, there's going to be a ton of interior offensive linemen go, because there's some depth at that position. There might not be the, you know, the blue chip guy that you take, like a Nelson. Nelson's once in a, I don't know, 20 years draft. You got to take that guard, you know, very high. Not normal. You know, it's an abnormal thing for a kid to go that high. But there's so many good ones from 20 to 40. A lot of them are going to go. So you say, all right, I'll start that run at 21. Or do you say, I'll cross my fingers and hope that at 46, the run hasn't been too big, and I still get somebody I still value at 46, or I have to go to another spot and then wait till the third round. And now, you know, well, how am I there value-wise? Well, it's such a big need. Now I might have to reach a little bit. I mean, there's so much to it. It all depends on when the runs occur. You know, and the interesting thing, James, about all this is you hear teams after the draft say, oh, we had a good draft. We took players in the third round. We had rated as a – we got one at 3B that we had rated 2A. Mm-hmm. A lot of other teams in the league obviously had him rated 3B because that's where he went. But people run different schemes. They have different philosophies. They grade people differently. If you take a snapshot of all the top 25 players on the draft boards of all 32 teams in the NFL, you wouldn't have 2 duplications going down 25 spots. You wouldn't have 2 at the exact same. You know, that's just the way everybody looks at players differently. They have different schematics, different philosophies. So that's what makes the draft so non-scientific. And, I mean, you know, just look at the quarterback position. You know, the people that are drafting quarterbacks this year, are all these prospects going to pan out? Is it going to be an Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers draft, or is it going to be a Locker, Gabbert, Ponder draft? You know, we have 3 potential Hall of Famers and 1 all-in-one draft and 3 Buster Roonies, you know, as first-round picks in the other draft. It's just, you never know.
Lat, there's so much I still want to get to with you. And part of it to me, I look, and the Bengals have 11 draft picks. I've heard you on back-to-back Bengals Booth podcast now discuss the possibility of them trading up at some point. And you mentioned the run of interior linemen. I think if they don't get a center at 21, the idea of trading up from 46 to 38, they have 11 draft picks, I think they should consider that. Is that something you think that the Bengals will look at if the guy that they want is available early day two?
I think that's a possibility. But again, it's always like you have to have a trade partner. You know, you have to have somebody that is willing to trade down for you to trade up, and vice versa. If you want to trade back, you have to have somebody that's willing to trade up. And every year they get a myriad of phone calls. When they drafted Shaw, they were thinking about trading up in the 4th round to get him. And they thought about trading up in the later rounds. They have traded up. When they drafted Lawson, they were thinking about trading up to get him in the 4th round, and they still got him. So, again, it's like everybody rates players differently, and everybody says after the draft, hey, we got our guy. We got our guy later than everybody thought we could be able to get our guy. So it is crazy. But, you know, I don't try to get too cute. To me, it's like, all right, well, did a hell of a job getting Cordy Glenn. Get a damn center. You know, stay with the plan. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't get too cutesy. Get a damn center. And if you can draft one in the first round that you feel good about, you got them for 5 years. You got the option for the 5th year. You don't just plug and play for 4. You're plugging and playing for 5 potentially. And if it really pans out, you re-sign them. You extend them before that 5th year comes around. But you have 5 years to work with instead of 4. So, I would not overthink it and get too darn cute about it. I would make sure that I really address my left tackle need. I want to address that center need as well.
You may have kind of already answered this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Lamar Jackson was in town for a visit. Peter King mocked Lamar to the Bengals today at 21. Let's say Lamar falls. He's available at 21. The Bengals are on the clock. Mike McGlinchey's gone, and the three top centers are there. Sounds like you'd want the center, but do you think the Bengals seriously entertain the idea of drafting the Louisville product 21st overall?
I don't see it. I really don't. I don't really see that happening. I'm not saying that he's not worthy of it. I'd be surprised if he doesn't, with the way people are valuing quarterbacks, I'd be surprised if he's there at 21. But with all the people that need a quarterback, why is he there at 21? You know, so I think the Bengals came in, though. What if Baltimore drafts him? I think the Bengals brought him in to find out what kind of football IQ he does have. You know, if we have to play against, I'm not sure I want to play against him. I mean, if I'm a defensive coordinator, that guy's a nightmare. Yeah. Could he have issues running your offense? If you draft him, you have to design like they ended up doing in Houston when Deshaun Watson ended up taking over. They designed an offense around his abilities, and look what happened. They averaged 35 points a game when he played and 17 points a game when he didn't. So, you know, I mean, they basically worked around his talents, which is what you have to do. He has to be a primary guy. If he gets drafted by a team that has already a veteran starting quarterback, a la Andy Dalton, they'd have to have an offense when Dalton's quarterbacking and a different offense when Lamar's quarterbacking. A lot of teams in the league would have to do that. So somebody would have to draft him, you know, like Houston basically was envisioning with Deshaun Watson. They just weren't sure how much pro-style offense he could run, when he would be ready. But you have to have an offense designed around what that guy can do. And man, you know, the biggest thing that he does, James, is man, the plays that he creates are better than the plays that are called. Mm-hmm. And the dude is an unbelievable improvisational player. It's it's uncanny, amazing to watch him. He's a freakazoid.
I think the Bengals certainly will draft a quarterback at some point with one of their 11 draft picks. Are there any names fans should be on their radar or fans should be paying attention to? And where do you think the Bengals will seriously look at picking a signal caller?
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing a lot of due diligence on a lot of prospects, but it would surprise me if they take one before the fifth round. And honestly, because the reason I say that is this draft, it's a great draft to have third through fifth round picks. The Bengals have 2/3 and 2/5. So, you know, when you have 2 threes, a 4 and 5, I think it hits the sweet spot of this draft of linebackers, defensive tackles, safeties. You know, they have so many needs. And if in the first and second round you've addressed, you know, say offensive line and I don't know what. To me, the next need would be safety. So if there's an end of round two run, I think potential run of safeties, the Bengals should start that run. Why not start the run with the interior offensive lineman? Start the run at the safety position with all those guys available in the second round on. You know, 2 through 5 is a sweet spot. I think that there's a lot of depth at safety. 3 through 5, a lot of depth in the interior defensive line and at linebacker. So it's a tremendous draft to have multiple picks. And I think they probably, you know, would think about a quarterback with one of those fifth rounders. And if they draft a wide receiver or a running back, they might not draft them until with those seventh-round picks, if at all. It wouldn't shock me if they come out of the draft without drafting a wide receiver or a running back and just go college free agency in that area. And people like those 3 seventh-rounders are so late. Well, instead of having to compete with other teams to sign them as college free agents where they're going to get bonuses, you got them. You got them as something. The only place they can go is to your team. So those seventh-rounders, you know, now you've got 3 players. They've always had a college free agent or two that have shown themselves capable and have made the team. Why not make sure that you get the guys that are at the top of your list, you know, almost like an invited walk-on kind of thing at the college program, an invited college free agent, and get them as a seventh rounder instead of just competing with all 31 other teams in the pool.
Lap, as far as safety, and I think it's interesting because to me, I didn't view it going into the offseason as this tremendous need. Obviously, Sean Williams and George Iloka under contract, but the Bengals, at least from what I've heard, it's no secret, they want to force more turnovers. They feel a little bit uneasy about their current safeties. Do you think that is early? I don't think they'll consider one maybe at 21, but do you think round two, round three is where they'll look for the sweet spot for safety?
I think there's a possibility, depending on which ones are there. I don't think they're going to reach if there's, you know, better players at other positions. You know, if there's a defensive tackle there, for example, at 46 that is better than the safety at 46. I don't think they'd necessarily go at safety, but they're now, you know, people like if Payne is there at 21, you know, you're stacking defensive tackles. They got some young defensive tackles that they like, Glasgow and Billings. You know, they want to see how they develop. So now you're stacking a defensive tackle. I don't think you do that at 21 when you have so many other needs, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure. Yeah, I think Payne's a good player, but I'm not sure I'd rate him ahead of any one of the three centers. And I think I'd rate McGlinchey above all of them if he were there. But, yeah, I think they would start looking there. You know, the Kurt Coleman, they made a big run for him. He went to the Saints for a lot of money. Justin Reed they brought in, Eric Reed they brought in, Justin Reed's brother. They brought Eric Reed in from the 49ers, take a look at. And I wonder how Eric Reed's interview with Mike Brown will affect his brother Justin out of Stanford in the draft. You know that every team that interviewed him asked him about what his position is with respect to the flag, mm-hmm. because of his brother Eric Reed's position with respect to the flag. So, you know, but I do think there are safeties that they'd probably take a look at in that second round. It would not shock me if they go center in the first round or offensive line in general in the first round. It would not shock me if they go defense in round two. You know, linebackers a knee, but, you know, not as big as now with Preston Brown coming knocking on your door from his downtown hotel and saying, I want to be a Bengal. I mean, that's one of the best things that happened to him in the offseason. You get the leading tackler in the NFL. You know, when people are saying, he only did that because he was a three-down player. Well, hell, what's wrong with being a three-down player?
Yeah.
Today's NFL, that's what you want. I want a three-down player who gets 144 tackles. I'll take that dog a hunt. I'll take that all day, every day. And, you know, that diminishes, that lessens the need at the linebacker position with the two Buffalo Bills, former Bills, the Bengals picked up by trade and free agency.
Dave, I can't let you go without asking about the cornerback position. It seems like any time the Bengals are drafting around where they are in the 20s, corner has the potential to be the best player available. What are the odds they address corner? And I think it could potentially be a need with Darqueze Dennard in the final year of his contract. Obviously, no Adam Jones in town. Do you think the Bengals consider corner at 21? Is there a scenario where you see that happening?
I think that it would have to be a slide of, you know, like Ward. He's not going to be there. I mean, I think it would have to be a major, major slide. That's another position. If there's one that makes it to the second round, you know, I think personally, because like you're saying, James, corners are huge need in today's NFL. I think there's a run on them. I think there's a run on corners potentially before the Bengals pick at 21. So, you know, if you've got the third or fourth corner on the board and you've got the number one offensive tackle, if there is a run on corner, I think that helps the Bengals. You know, because I don't have corner as one of my bigger needs. I mean, offensive line, obviously, center and tackle. Safety, linebacker, interior defensive tackle, and if I can upgrade, improve my nickel, however I do it, you know, I try to get that done. But, you know, I think they're going to take two offensive linemen, two safeties, two corners at some point, two linebackers, and that's only eight picks. They still have three left, you know. So, I mean, it's incredible. They have currency. They've got themselves in good shape. You know, they traded for an upper crust offensive tackle when healthy, and they didn't give up any of their currency to do it. They just kind of shifted it. They basically cashed in a $20 bill and got a 10 and a 5 back, going from 12 to 21. But they addressed probably their biggest need. Everybody agrees, going to get a left tackle, and they did. So it's going to be interesting. I think there's a good possibility in my mind they don't draft a quarterback, running back, or wide receiver. That wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't shock me if it didn't happen. But, you know, then, of course, if they do, running back wide receiver, they may go with one of their seventh-round picks just to make sure that, okay, we're in the college free agent pool. Who are the better guys that have slid that are really good football players but just haven't been drafted yet? You know, so they start plucking them with those late seventh-round picks. Those have some value. You know, and let's remember how many great players, you know, were on the Bengals all-time team that were drafted after the seventh round of their drafts. Mm-hmm. Tim Krumrie, 10th. Bob Trumpy, 12th. You know, I mean, it's if you don't get drafted in today's NFL draft, only even being seven rounds long, doesn't mean you're not a good football player. So, and the Bengals have proven that, and other teams have by, you know, making hitting some home runs in college free agency.
Last one for you, Lapp, and it's not even a question, more of a statement. I think in an ideal world, just how I feel, how I think of the draft, Mike McGlinchey falls to 21. I know it's not likely, but that happens. And they take him. He can play right tackle right away, and they instantly bolster the offensive line. And then at 46, a Billy Price falls, or one of the top three centers falls all the way to 46. That's my dream scenario. Are you on board with the dream?
Merry Christmas, big boy. That would be unbelievable. That would be Santa Claus on steroids.
Yeah. To me, the Vikings, I look at what the Vikings did last year, and they completely overhauled their offensive line. I think that's exactly what the Bengals, in an ideal world, would be able to do if the draft plays out that way.
And if McGlinchey's not there, I would stay with, when we talked, geez, I don't know, it was over a month ago now, I guess. You know, I mentioned Billy Price. I probably, if McGlinchey's not there, I'd probably go Billy Price with 21. And then, you know, look at it, and looking at the second round tackles. I mean, there are good prospects there. I mean, there's a lot of good prospects in the second round at the tackle position. So that wouldn't shock me. But if they took a center in the first round, and there were a defensive player there in round two, you know, that they could upgrade at safety or linebacker, whatever, that wouldn't stun me either. But man, if they went McGlinchey and Price, you couldn't write a better script. And that would be Hollywood City.
Yeah, it would. See, I'm getting everyone excited, and that's McGlinchey's going to go like 13th overall.
Right. I agree. I think he's a top 15 guy. I think, you know, if he makes it out of the top 15, he won't make it out of the top 20. I'd be surprised if he's there. But like we said, if there's a weird run, all it takes with all these quarterbacks that they're talking about making trades up and all these quarterbacks taking supply, then you always have 4 to 6, you know, can't miss guys. They're going to go. Barkley's, Nelson's, Chubb, you know, Roquan. So those guys are going to go. If they don't, you know, if there's a run at corner or run at wherever, you know, that means the rest of the offensive line is going to slide a little bit. It's going to drop a little bit down. Or if the offensive lineman goes, that means one of those primetime players might slide a little bit. I don't know if they slide to 21, but, man, that's the thing. It is a wide-open draft. In my mind, it's not a top-heavy draft. It's a mid-heavy draft. You know, like I said, I think almost where the Bengals are, from like 20 to 40, is where there's a lot of value, a lot of good players. And the Bengals have 21 and 46. So, man, you know, they can do some damage in the early stages of the draft, and it's a great draft to have two-thirds and two-fifths. There's still, you know, players there. That's what I'm saying. It's a mid-heavy, not top-heavy draft for the Bengals to totally take advantage of, in my opinion. I think Duke Tobin and the entire organization is striving to get exactly that done.
Dave, I really enjoyed this. I could talk to you between now and Thursday, all things draft, but I won't keep you any longer. I know I kept you for a long time. I appreciate you coming on. I'm sure I'll be bothering you at some point later in the week after we figure out what the Bengals do at 21.
You got it, man.
That's Dave Lapham. Really interesting stuff there. Here's what I can tell you. Rule out Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson isn't going to be the pick. And while I always thought it was a long shot, it was interesting that the Bengals met with him. He's not the first person I've talked to that said, well, you know, within the organization or tight-knit in the organization, like, yeah, they ain't taking him 21. So if Lamar fell at 46, sure. He ain't falling to 46. I'm not sure he'll be there at 21. I actually hope he's not. I want Mike McGlinchey. That's the dream scenario. The Mike McGlinchey, then center in round two. Here's the problem. You notice all the steam for Billy Price? I've made two guarantees. One, the Bengals will take Mike McGlinchey if he's there. I still feel confident in that one. Two, they won't take Billy Price at 21 because he won't be the best player available, even at the position that they need, center. It's starting to feel more and more like, oh my, they're going to take Billy Price. I hope not, just because I want to be right. No, I mean, honestly, look, I want them to get the best play. If they feel like Billy Price is the best, fine. with that being said, I've not talked to one person, one analyst, that says Billy Price is the best center in this draft or has the most upside of anyone in this draft. Pro Football Focus loves Frank Ragnow. Joe Goodberry, who you heard on Friday, loves Frank Ragnow. A lot of people love James Daniels. Billy Price, well, Ohio State fans love him. If the Bengals love him, he could be the guy that the Bengals take with the 21st overall pick. I will be at Dickman Sports Cafe in Northern Kentucky. Meet me there. I'll be there at like 8, 8:30, broadcasting at 9. So I will definitely be there by 8:30 on Thursday night. Bengals expected to announce their pick between 10 and 10:30. I hope to catch up with whoever the Bengals pick that night. And you can hear our interview like you did with John Ross last year. I'll be one of a tandem of hosts for 700 WLW asking the first overall pick or the Bengals' first pick questions first overall. That would be Cleveland. I'm James Erpine. A lot to get to this week. It's draft week. It's almost here. If you have any questions, email me, James Erpine at ESPN1530.com, on Twitter, at James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. Check out the website, LockedOnBengals.com. And until next time, until tomorrow, I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.